We turn in God's Word tonight to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. These things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Our text this evening is found in verses 3 and 4 of this chapter. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The Bible is filled with figures that describe the calling of every believer in this world, those who are members of Jesus Christ. The chapter that we read tonight gives to us three of them right in a row. In verse 6, Paul speaks of a husbandman or a farmer who is the first partaker of his fruits. By that figure is meant the child of God, the believer who has reaped the benefits of the cross of Jesus Christ, therefore himself ought to bring forth fruits of salvation. The second figure the Apostle Paul uses is found in verse 5 of this chapter. There the child of God is described as one who strives for masteries. He is a player in the Olympic Games who strives to receive the crown of victory. And that crown of victory, of course, is that crown that fades not away in the heavens. The figure Paul uses in the passage we consider tonight is that of a soldier. And that's the one that we're going to concentrate also on tonight. There the child of God is described for you and me as one who really is called to fight the good fight of faith. The soldier of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our soldiers whom Christ has chosen, and therefore soldiers who represent His cause and His kingdom in this world. Soldiers who belong to the rank and file of Jesus Christ Himself. As members of the Church of Christ, we confess that we willingly join ourselves to that rank and file of soldiers that belong to the Christian army. And we choose to stand side by side with our fellow saints as fellow soldiers in that same army. What does it mean to be a good soldier? That's really what the Apostle Paul is speaking of tonight. Not just a soldier, perhaps a poor one, or a mediocre soldier, but what does it mean to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? What does it mean for you and me to cast in our lot with Christ as Christian soldiers who represent His cause in His kingdom and who hold high the banner of our Savior in this world? That's going to be the question, of course, that we answer tonight in connection with this passage. And while considering that question, we ought to consider the fact that the Apostle Paul writes to a young preacher, a young man named Timothy. This is Paul's second epistle or second letter to this young man. Timothy was one whom Paul took with him from Lystra on his second missionary journey, and really taught Timothy everything that he knew, and that even about the gospel ministry. Paul loved him. Paul taught Timothy as his own son. And now, since that time, Timothy had become a young pastor in the church of Ephesus, a rather large congregation, a new congregation that was riddled with its own difficulties and problems. He was still young while pastoring that, so the Apostle Paul felt it necessary to write this young man a couple of letters. In a certain sense, Timothy already no doubt had experienced what it meant to be a good soldier of the cross of Christ. Timothy had many enemies outside of the church, as well as enemies that could be found within the realm of the church too. So Paul in this chapter encourages Timothy through many different exhortations that he gives to Timothy. Be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Study to show thyself approved of God. Shun profane and vain babblings. Flee youthful lusts. Be gentle unto all men. All exhortations that Paul gives to Timothy. But though Paul speaks these exhortations to Timothy and applies them specifically to his life as a pastor in the church of Ephesus, nevertheless, we could take this same epistle now written to Timothy and apply it to ourselves as God's people, especially those of us who are called by God together with Timothy to war a good warfare. Be good soldiers of Christ is what we learn tonight. So consider with me a good soldier of Christ. In the first place, what is that idea expressed in this figure of being a soldier, the idea. Secondly, the exhortation now that Paul gives to Timothy as a soldier and to us as soldiers. And then finally, the purpose of being a good soldier. All of us here tonight, myself included, have never experienced firsthand what it would be to be a soldier, maybe one of us tonight, a soldier in the armed forces of our land. We have not experienced the rigorous life of the armed forces of our country. We know what it is to be a soldier only secondhand, don't we? And a lot of times what we learn about being a soldier is glamorized by the wicked world in which we dwell. A soldier is one who is drafted by his country or volunteers for military service. He either volunteers or he is chosen by his government for the specific purpose of defending a certain nation and its political ideals. No doubt at the time of Paul and Timothy, the nation whose cause a soldier represented was the Republic of Rome. Such a soldier was trained, was conditioned by his government to war against and kill, if necessary, anyone who would attack or attempt to take over that nation. There was an additional task, of course, of the soldiers of Rome as well, and that was to conquer the world, conquer nations that were weaker than Rome, and take those nations and annex them to that mighty empire of Rome. But in verse 4 of our text, Paul calls attention to the fact that a soldier really is not immediately a soldier by that one who has chosen him to be a soldier. Before he is allowed to defend his country, a soldier must first of all be trained. He must receive a complete and a lengthy training to be a soldier and before he can go out to battle. And during that period of time, a soldier is subjected to a strict and rigorous schedule of training, beginning in early morning and lasting until late at night. There's no time to become involved in anything else that deals with one's personal life, unless furlough time, of course, is given to that soldier. He is unrelentlessly drilled, at least in our armies, specifically by the sergeants of a particular unit, unrelentlessly drilled in physical endurance and in particular skills in order to handle the weapons of warfare that those soldiers will use. All this in order that he might be trained in the deadly art of warfare. The life of a soldier is one of the strictest discipline and one of strictest order, therefore. And for the weak, the life of a soldier will never work. It will never work. The goal of all of this is to turn a man into a good soldier. The best soldier possible. One not only highly skilled in the art of fighting, but one who is able to endure the hardness of the battlefield. A good soldier is one who must be able to go long days without any sleep. He must be able to march through all kinds of different weather, and he must be able to suffer the loss of close friends. All the hard and gruesome realities of the real fight must be endured if one is going to be a good soldier. Now, everything that we have said concerning a good soldier can be taken and applied to you and to me as soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that is applied to a soldier of an earthly kingdom can be applied to you and me as soldiers of a heavenly kingdom or spiritual kingdom. First, it means that we have been selected or chosen or drafted by Jesus Christ himself, and therefore we belong to him as soldiers of his army. That idea the Apostle Paul expresses when in verse 4 of our text, the very end, he speaks of pleasing him who has chosen us to be a soldier. He's not talking about volunteer soldiers, although we are volunteer soldiers too, but he's talking about us as soldiers who have been chosen by Jesus Christ. The moment you and I are regenerated, we have been drafted by Jesus Christ into the rank and file of soldiers in his army. You and I ought to consider that a distinct privilege, Christian soldiers. Christ has chosen us to be his own. That bespeaks the fact that you and I have been chosen from all eternity by God himself to be a soldier of Christ. Before time began, before God laid the foundations of this world, we were chosen in Christ. And that moment that we were chosen in Christ, we were chosen as soldiers of Jesus Christ. There was no option. No option. That would be our career for life. We would be soldiers of the living God in this world. That's a privilege, I say, because not everybody in this world is selected by God or chosen by God or elected by God to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. And neither have you and I, by means of our own prowess, been chosen by God because he saw in us men and women who, well, they might be good soldiers, so I'm going to choose them to be a good soldier. Whether children, whether men, whether women, whether weak or whether strong, God in his grace alone has chosen us to be one of his soldiers. And he has adapted us, weak as we might be, to be one of those soldiers. So we are a soldier by means of God's unmerited favor. But that we are chosen by Christ to be his soldiers also implies a second truth. It implies, in fact, that we belong to that Jesus. And that too is true. You see, Christ has bought you and me with a price. He paid a price for us. When we were slaves or servants of Satan, Christ went to the cross, and he redeemed us in his precious blood. And when he did that, he paid the price for our sin, which means he purchased us so that we are no longer slaves of Satan, but now we've become slaves of Christ. And by means of our salvation, by means especially of our sanctification, we have been shaped and molded by Jesus Christ into soldiers, freely paid the price for our sins, but now also made soldiers of Christ by his work. Which means that though we have been chosen as soldiers of Jesus Christ, now as we belong to Jesus Christ, heart and soul, and love our Lord Jesus Christ and love his cause in this world and love our God and his cause in this world, well, in a certain sense, we become volunteer soldiers, haven't we? Because we voluntarily bow before that rule of the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ alone. So we are Christian soldiers, but not Christian soldiers by force, but because we desire to be Christian soldiers. That in the first place. In the second place, that we are soldiers of Christ means we are chosen specifically to defend and maintain the cause of Christ in this world, to fight the good fight of faith on behalf of Christ's kingdom in this world. We realize, of course, that the cause and the kingdom of Jesus Christ is not an earthly one, and that the battle that we're going to fight in his kingdom is not an earthly battle. Christ's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, but it is a kingdom just as real as any earthly kingdom to which a person might belong. Just as real, even though we might not be able to see it. Maybe it's not a tangible kingdom to our earthly eyes. Nevertheless, Christ's kingdom is a real kingdom, and we are real soldiers in his army. So as we mentioned earlier, we are those who take the flag of Christ's kingdom, not the flag of the United States, although we would probably do that in an earthly battle, the flag of Christ's kingdom, and we hold that banner high above us. We're not ashamed of the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ in this world. We're not afraid of the enemy that opposes that cause of Jesus Christ in this world. We hold high the banner of Christ, and we give witness to everyone around us that we belong to Jesus and to his kingdom in this world. And we rejoice together that we can stand together with those Christian soldiers Christ gathers from all over the world and all around us, that we can stand together here as a congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ with our fellow soldiers and fight the battle of Christ. So, that's what it means to be a soldier in Christ's kingdom. There is more than this implied in this figure of our text as well. That we are called to be soldiers of Jesus Christ means that there are enemies against which we fight. There are those who assault the kingdom in an attempt to overthrow and destroy the kingdom of Christ in this world. There are enemies opposed to God, enemies that are opposed to his appointed Son, and therefore our enemies. Not just enemies of God, not just enemies of Christ, but our enemies as well. Otherwise, there would be no reason for you and me to be called soldiers. Right? In fact, we are warring at present. Right now, our names are not on the inactive list. We are in the midst of the fray. We're in the midst of the battle right now. We are actively fighting the good fight of faith. Even though we cannot see all of our enemies, we are fighting them, and they are real, and they are all around us. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the reference that he is making there is Satan and his fallen host of angels who are spread throughout the world and who are battling long and hard in order to turn you and me and God's people from their faith. And where the battle is the hottest, there Satan himself is. Where the church that maintains the truth dwells, Satan doesn't leave it up to his devils to fight the battle there. He's fighting it hard for himself right there. Very, very hard. And he uses strong and he uses deceptive means. Simply because we do not see them does not mean that he isn't exercising his weapons of spiritual warfare. Our other enemies we see. We can't see Satan and his evil host, but we do see our other enemies through the battle that we have to fight against in this world. A wicked world all around us. We fight against this wicked world, and we fight against our own sinful nature, our own sinful flesh, so that in a real way we could say we see the enemy, and the enemy is us, or we. We fight against our own sinful flesh. That sinful flesh is one of those foes the Catechism tells us that we fight against. And those foes are very, very real. We read of those foes in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, where John exhorts you and me, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The battle we carry on as Christian soldiers is also a unique battle. It is not one where I pick up my gun and shoot at my enemies. I cannot, nor may I, of course, shoot him. I have spiritual enemies, perhaps, in this world, but that doesn't mean give me the right to take a gun and go out now into my neighborhood over here and say, well, that's an enemy of Christ because he's walking this way, and that guy or that woman is an enemy of Christ because they're walking that way, so I'm going to pull out my gun and shoot him in the head. We have fanatics, you know, who take that literally and probably would go out and do that too, giving a real smear to the name of Christianity. That's not what we do or may we do. We are not wrestling against. We may not wrestle against that enemy and struggle him to the ground and put a knife through his chest. Battle we carry on as Christian soldiers is a spiritual battle, but a very, very real battle. Just because it's a spiritual struggle that we have in our lives doesn't make it less real, doesn't make it less of a struggle for you and me. Every hour of the day, we confront and we clash with the enemies all around us, and we are locked in a spiritual arm-to-arm combat against our foes. We fight the weapons of their warfare, the temptations that they place before us, that the word of Satan casts before us in an attempt to capture our souls and turn us away from the cause of Jesus Christ. We wrestle our own sinful nature every moment of the day. The battle wages within us, never ending, always unrelentlessly going on. And we struggle, don't we? Sometimes struggle really, really hard and unceasingly with ourselves, with Satan, and with those about us in this world. There's the idea of being a soldier and the warfare that we fight as soldiers in this world. That's the figure Paul uses now in our text. And Paul accompanies this figure of our text with an exhortation. We read, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. There's the exhortation we receive from Paul. Negatively, really, there's two exhortations there. Negatively, Paul warns Timothy not to become entangled with the affairs of this present life. That on the one hand. And then positively, he exhorts Timothy to endure hardship as a soldier. But if we were to dig down a little bit more into the meaning of Paul in our text, we would find that there's really only one thing he's getting at, and that's this. Be a good soldier. We're fighting a warfare, we're soldiers. Now, be a good soldier. A good soldier does not entangle himself with the things of this world. A good soldier is one who endures hardship. Therefore, Timothy, young Timothy, preacher Timothy, be a good soldier. And that's the same that goes forth to you and to me. You know, there are good soldiers and there are bad soldiers too. A bad soldier is actually one who in boot camp is a lazy soldier and who tries to get out of as much as possible that rigorous training that he has to undergo because he doesn't see for himself personally any real value in that training. He can go and kill the enemy without any kind of training. He's man enough to do it. It's either that or a bad soldier is one who's not really all that enthused about the cause that he represents, the country that he's a citizen of. I've been drafted and I'll go to war, but I really don't want to go to war and I really don't care about the cause that I'm representing. He's not attentive, therefore, when the battle does begin to the enemy that lurks about him. And when he finally sees his enemy, he's the first one to throw his gun down and to run away, to give up when the battle is nigh. And certainly, he is not very attentive and he is not very watchful so that he is aware of the presence of his enemy. A bad soldier is one who is undisciplined because he has failed to practice temperance and moderation in his life while training and while battling his foes. Now, that's a bad soldier. Timothy doesn't want us to be bad soldiers. A good soldier, now, on the other hand, is just the opposite. In the first place, a good soldier does not entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Evidently, the soldiers of the Roman Empire were never allowed to become involved in any civil affairs, any labors, while fighting in the forces of the Roman army. Being a soldier was, in fact, a career choice. When he was chosen as a soldier, his whole life was devoted to being a soldier. I guess not really unlike the soldiers of today. That's true even in our own armed forces. Soldiers were to attend wholly to their military exercises. They must devote their entire lives to the drills and that rigorous training that was necessary to make them those highly skilled warriors that they were. That's why the armies of Rome were so powerful. These men knew what they were doing when they went out to battle. And to become involved in anything other than their duties as a soldier would mean entangling themselves, that is, getting mixed up together or caught up together with something they shouldn't. They would become enmeshed or ensnared in the affairs of a life that would just simply interfere with and as a result ruin their place as a good soldier. One's military discipline would become lax. The soldier would lose his focus because his mind was on other matters, and that would result in one becoming a rather mediocre or even a poor soldier. Now, Paul uses that figure once again to exemplify to you and to me what makes a good soldier in the armies of Jesus Christ. Look, he tells us, we are fighting a battle. Whether we want to admit it or not, we, as citizens of Christ's kingdom, are fighting a battle, fighting a spiritual warfare. And because we are, as a soldier of Christ, you and I must always keep that in mind as we walk through our life in the midst of this world. We must never become entangled in the affairs of this life. You must not become so ensnared, Paul tells us, by the cares and worries of this life, on the one hand. That's an easy thing to do, you know. There's all kinds of cares, there's all kinds of worries that we have with our jobs, with our place in the church, with in our relationship with others, perhaps in the family, or more broadly speaking. There's always worries and cares. And Paul says, be careful. As a soldier of Jesus Christ, do not lose sight of now your hope. Winning the battle. Pleasing your Christ. Cares of this life can overwhelm us at times. And we can give in to them and worry about them. And even, mind you, get down and out about them. We get kind of depressed over life. And then we falter, you see, and our faith begins to wane. And we let things slide in our lives and in our families because we become enmeshed in those things that bother us, it seems, incessantly bother us. And we think about them, and we think about them, and we keep on thinking about them instead of going forward in our life, in a life of joy, in a life of contentment in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're becoming entangled in the things of this life, you see. We may do that, Paul says. At other times, we allow our lives to become entangled up with the pleasures and treasures of this world, and what this world offers you and me. We forget about the fact that we are soldiers of Jesus Christ, fighting a battle. And we lay down the weapons of our spiritual warfare and instead indulge in the pleasures and treasures, the fun, the entertainment of this world to the extent that the things of the kingdom of heaven, the cause that we represent and that we're fighting for, become dim. We're not thinking about heaven anymore or our place in God's kingdom anymore because we've become drunken with the things of this present life and we're enjoying them. Perhaps we might even go so far as to walk hand in hand with the wicked world in their sin. Paul tells us, do not become ensnared with the affairs of this life, because then you become a poor soldier. And then add to that the fact that we can become entangled with the goals of this present world, what this world is after, so that our life now in this world becomes consumed in accumulating money to ourselves. Anything that makes money. That's what I want. That's what I'm going to strive for, so that everything in my thoughts and in my desires is to become wealthy in this world and establish somehow a little nest egg over here that we forget is going to perish at the moment we die and we can't take it with us. But we consume ourselves in that. And we become entangled, you see, in the affairs of this present life rather than remaining a good soldier. And then, of course, we can become entangled in the things of this present life when we, as God's people in the midst of this world, consume ourselves in the philosophy and the teachings and the attitudes that are so frequently expressed about us by this world. This is what you need to do here. That's what you need to do there. We have to follow in this way here. We have to follow in that. The world is full of good counsel and advice. Problem of it is, most often, it's unbelieving counsel and advice. And we can become entangled, you see, in the affairs of this world by following after all of the worldly wisdom, all of the worldly counsel of this unbelieving world. And then we are turned away from the reasoning of the Word of God. The Word of God is going to direct us in the way that we do things in this life. And we ought not to follow in the path of the unbelieving world. So, that on the one hand, if we're going to be a good soldier, we don't become entangled in the things of this present world. On the other hand, we as soldiers must endure hardness. Reminds me a little bit of what Christ tells us, that we must be willing to take up our cross and follow Jesus. The word endure here literally means to suffer hardness. And really, that word hardness and its root meaning means evil. So to suffer evils. We do that in the battle that we fight in this world. There are hardships that you and I will suffer on behalf of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many wearisome and difficult hardships we suffer as we battle our enemies. The unbelieving world, of course, does not like us when we walk in the ways of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that a good soldier of Jesus Christ, young man of the church, and children, means we might be shunned by people who call us friends. Because you see, they want us to go along with them hand in hand and do the things that they want us to do. And as a soldier of Jesus Christ who's fighting the battle, we say, no, can't do it. I belong to Jesus Christ. And the spiritual weapon that I exercise here is the Word of God. The Word of God tells me I ought not to go along with those friends or acquaintances that I have. So I have to say no to them. Well, you know what that means, right? You're left out. They won't invite you places, won't do things with them, because you won't go along with them. So that's suffering. That's a form of suffering. We suffer, don't we? When we have to battle against our own sin. You know how wearisome that becomes for the child of God who lives in faith? Every day asking God at the beginning of the day to give you strength so that you can fight the battle against your own sin and Satan. And then every day at the end of the day saying, Lord, forgive me again because I failed. Every day a struggle. Day in and day out. It doesn't let up. Day in and day out in this life, in this world, we fight against our own sin. We don't love God. We don't love our neighbor as we should. And there's so many things that take place in our life, or so many thoughts that we have that we know fails to meet up to that standard. And we end up having to say to God, I failed again. Father, forgive me of my sins. That's a wearisome struggle. That's suffering on the part of the child of God. Well, Paul tells us a good soldier endures suffering. He doesn't cave in when he has to walk day and night, days in a row as a good soldier and suffer under every kind of weather. He doesn't cave in when he has to sit in a foxhole for a week or two straight, having the enemy take pot shots at him. He's a good soldier, and he endures those hardships in life to be a good soldier. The same thing is true of us, beloved saints. The same thing is true of us. We endure the evils of this world. We endure the hardships that are leveled against us, the hardships that come our way because of sin. We endure them. We don't just suffer them. We endure them. And we stand up against them. And we take them. That's a good soldier. Not one who cracks, one who stands and who fights the good fight of faith for the cause of Jesus Christ in this world. But don't forget that when the Apostle Paul gives us this commandment, he says this: fight as a soldier of Christ, a soldier who belongs to Christ. If you don't keep that in mind, that you're a soldier that belongs to Christ, you are going to crack. You are not going to be able to endure. It's only because we belong to Jesus Christ himself, the captain of our salvation. It's only because he upholds us in the strife. Be thou my helper in the strife, my strong defender be. We're going to sing that in a moment. It's only because Jesus Christ upholds us in that fight that you and I will be able to stand as good soldiers of Christ in this world. So what does that mean for you and me to be a good soldier? Prayer. Living within the conscious presence of Jesus Christ, knowing that he alone, through his strength, can give us the victory over against our enemies. Now let's discover the purpose in being a good soldier. Paul tells us now at the very end of our text what the purpose of being a good soldier is. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life in order that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's why we fight the good fight of faith, beloved saints. We want to please our Lord and our captain. We endure hardness. And we do so because we want Jesus Christ as our captain to look upon us and nod his head with pleasure over the way that we walk in the midst of this world. In Rome, it was a great honor for a centurion or a captain of the armies to receive medals and commendations from those above him because his soldiers fought a good warfare and he was pleased with them. He was proud of his unit. Well, Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. Jesus Christ is not pleased with you and me when we're a bunch of sloppy soldiers, undisciplined, lacking the skills that are needed to fight the good fight of faith. That would be dishonorable to a captain. Christ is pleased with you and me because we're good soldiers of Christ and we stand in faith in the midst of this world. So we ask ourselves the question tonight: are we fighting? Are we fighting the good fight of faith? Are we disciplined in our Christian life in this world? Are we brave? Are we courageous followers of our captain? Then know this: the captain is pleased with us because he's the captain of our salvation. And when he is pleased, then that captain confesses you and me before Jesus or before our God who is in heaven. When we're sloppy, He denies us. When we please him, then he confesses us before our Father in heaven, and we receive also our eternal reward. So, soldiers of the cross, be good soldiers. Battle with the Church of Christ. Fight together, standing side by side, that good fight of faith, enduring hardness. Then we will look upon the face of our captain and hear him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. Our gracious and eternal Father, we are thankful unto thee that thou dost give unto us a place in thy army and in thy kingdom. Now equip us, Father, by thy grace and spirit, the spirit of our risen Lord who dwells in our hearts, to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ and to go forth and fight the good fight of faith. Where we fail and we stumble, because we do, we all do. Where we fail and we stumble, pick us up, Father. And wilt thou give unto us the strength to continue to march in the rank and file of thy soldiers. We pray that thou wilt grant unto us also thy grace and the forgiveness of sins, which is found in the cross of Jesus Christ alone, so that we might go forth with that assurance, with that strength, and with that joy in the midst of this world. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.